So we're in the series, the Advent series, right? Don't miss the manger. And that's the main theme of the play you're going to hear tonight. And last week I shared with you a nativity set that really meant a lot to me growing up as a kid. And as my parents would set out these nativity scenes, there was always a constant reminder that that Christmas is more than just about the presents and about the gifts that are coming, but it was about Christ. And so I wanted to show you all another nativity set that when I go home and see my parents, they're here with me this morning. When I go home to visit them, I'll always see this one out as well on a table. And this is a one of a kind. Like you can't buy this set. You can't buy this anywhere. A great artist made this one by the name of Grant. And when I was in third, fourth grade, for our Sunday school class, the teachers bought these figurines, and we made this in our Sunday school, and we were to give that to our parents as a Christmas gift. And so I can remember getting that, and they had like some gold paint that we'd put on our fingers, and we'd rub it around on that. And I remember making that, and then bringing it to Mom and Dad, and Merry Christmas, you know, and so it's been in our home ever since. And as we think about this Advent season, the whole purpose of don't miss the manger is that we don't want you to miss what it's all about. That this season is, there's something special this season. And don't lose it in the commercialism. Make sure that you're focused on the manger. That at a point in time in history that changed everything, that God himself came and took on flesh, and he brings us hope, he brings us peace, he brings us joy, and he brings love. And today we're going to talk about the peace of the manger. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we'll start with verse 67. Now this is Zechariah's prophecy over his son that was would be born, John the Baptist. It says, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you'd give us clarity of mind and heart to believe your words. Lord, help me to speak in love and boldness in your truth. I pray that you would tender our hearts, that we would receive what you would want us to receive this morning, and that we would be changed people. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord, in the spirit and power of your name. And I understand and accept the responsibilities laid upon me in being a minister of your word. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we read this passage, I want to focus on the very last verse where it says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." As you heard our reading of the Advent, as it was prophesied that God would send the Messiah who would be the light of the world, that he would take us out of darkness and bring us into light, and that gives us the peace of God. And when we think of darkness, I think of hopelessness. Now, studies have been done, and scientists have discovered that a person who was placed in isolation or in isolation and added to that complete darkness, within a 48-hour time period, it can have major effect on them, on their mind, their emotional health, and their well-being. Also, they have discovered that that we do need the light. We do need the sunlight. We cannot survive in darkness. That if darkness is all we experience, that it would not only cause psychological problems, but it would also cause some health problems as well. And I remember as a kid in grade school, of going on a field trip. How many of y'all remember those great school field trips? I mean, didn't you love going on a field trip? And they took us to Carter Caves. Anyone been out to Carter Caves? Well, Carter Caves is out in West Carter. It's down 64 east there, and not too far. And they have caves that you can go through. You can explore them on your own if you want to, or you can go through a guided tour of a cave. Well, being a field trip, we were on a guided tour through the cave. And as we was going through this cave, and they had us deep in the heart of the earth, there we were, and they had lights along the walls of the cave that lit the way, and we would walk, and they would show us the stalagmites and all that good stuff, and bring out and the bats up there and all kinds of stuff that was inside that cave. And then they stopped and they gathered us they said, okay, everybody come together. Now, we want you all to be still. No running, no touching, no screaming. We're about to turn the lights out, and we're going to let you experience complete darkness. And so they turned the lights out, and everything vanished, right? And then they were like, hold your hand up to your face and see if you can see your hand. Well, it was so dark in there that even when you had your hand in front of your face, you could not see it. You had no idea if there was anyone in that cave unless you reached out and felt them and touched them. Otherwise, you would have thought it was a prank and you were all alone. Darkness is hopelessness. Darkness is not a good place to be in. To be in complete darkness, you're vulnerable. You have no idea who might attack you or what might attack you. You have no idea where you're walking, what you could run into or fall into. A person in complete darkness is lost. And the Bible describes lostness to darkness. And in Psalm 82:4, we see that to walk in darkness is to walk in ignorance. Psalm 82:4 says, "Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness." To walk in darkness is also to walk in perverseness. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." To walk in darkness is to walk in wickedness. Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." There is darkness and there is light. There are those things that are evil, and there are those things that are good. There's that which is right and that which is wrong. There is truth and there is error. We live in a culture and a society that tries to muddy the lines of what is right and what is wrong. But there's nothing new under the sun. King Solomon said that. For it's just like in the days back in Israel when they were abandoning God and not serving God, they were running away from God. And just like the Roman culture of the New Testament that was very pagan and not seeking God, much like it is today. So we could even say that what Isaiah said can relate to our culture even now. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, he says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see that? Woe to those who call the dark light and the light dark. Because what has happened, what happens within a culture, is that we walk in darkness for so long that we begin to think that we can actually see when we cannot. And our world is deceit. And so what we want to do today is instead of admit that we're in the darkness and say, help, I'm lost, I can't see a thing, I am hopeless, I am in despair, I need light. Instead of doing that, what we do is we redefine terms. We add new definitions to things, and we call that which is evil right and that which is right evil. And we call the dark light and the light dark. There's a danger of being in the dark for too long. When you're in the dark for too long, it will overtake you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, he says, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. You see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, when Paul is talking about unbelievers, he says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying there is a demonic scheme. There is a diabolical delusion that's going over the hearts of people. That Satan is blinding the minds of people so that they cannot see the truth. He is keeping people away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the same God who said, let there be light, and spoke light into darkness, is the very same God this morning that can speak life into your dead soul and say, let there be life, and regenerate your heart and fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you new life in Jesus Christ. That's good news this morning. Don't miss the manger. For Jesus came to bring peace, and that peace comes because he is the light of the world to shine bright and to expose the wickedness so that we can come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. But there's a delusion going on in our culture. The value systems of our media, of our politics, of whatever arena you want to talk about, that is, even in the church world, there is a deception going across America. There is blinding going on. When you see the colors of a rainbow, and you think that that represents the LGBTQ community, rather than the promise of God who made a covenant with Noah that he would never destroy the world with water again, you've been blinded. Amen. When you have tolerance as your standard rather than truth, you've been blinded. Now, I'm not mad at anyone. I don't hate anybody. I'm not blaming anyone. I am saddened and grieved at the state of our culture. I don't hate people that are in the dark because I know what it's like to be in the dark. Every single one of us who are believers in Christ, we once were in darkness. And we know what it's like to be in the dark. So I'm not going to scream at you and yell at you, and I'm not going to be hateful to anyone. I'm not going to attack anyone. I'm not going to physically harm anyone, but I am going to love people enough to tell the truth. I am going to speak the word of God, that there is truth that we can believe, that there is a devil that does deceive, and that in Christ you can come out of dark thinking and dark living and walk in the light of an everlasting God. And so this morning, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we can get out of darkness and into light, because that is the good news of the gospel. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." This is talking about Jesus. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." How many of y'all realize that the darkness will not defeat Jesus? Jesus overcomes. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." This is about John the Baptist. "He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own received him not." Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. This is a very much quoted verse of Scripture in John 3, 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let's continue to read. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already." Do you see that? He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. But those who don't believe in him are condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." Here's the judgment, he said. John chapter 12, let's look at that. John 12, verse 44. "And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." He's speaking of the Father. "And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Let's stop right there for a moment, because we love to hear that verse, and one of the most quoted verses of Scripture, or statements about the Bible, that we love to quote and people love to quote, but non-Christian and Christians alike, is, "Thou shalt not judge." It's one of the Ten Commandments. Can't judge me. Don't judge. See, Jesus said he didn't come to judge. So you can't judge. Well, let's continue reading, shall we? Let's look at the next verse. We need to read that next verse. "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge." Oh, so there is a judge. There is a judgment. "The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." The word, he says, that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. Don't be deceived. There will be a day where every man and woman will stand before a holy God, and he will judge us by his word. The reason why we don't have to go around and judge people is they've already been judged by his word. The Word of God is very clear in many, many places. There are some times in Scripture where we scratch our head and we wonder, and we think, now how do you really interpret that? For the most part of Scripture, anyone with a fourth or fifth grade education level of reading comprehension can read the Bible and understand what it's saying. So this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to look at God's Word that will judge us and see what it says. Because apparently we have confusion and delusion, not only in our secular world, but in our church world. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, verse 3, here we go. We start making a list and see what is darkness, what is a darkness, what is considered darkness according to God's Word that we will be judged by. But sexual immorality, write that one down. Sexual immorality and all impurity, write that one down. And covetousness, that one's in there too, write that one down. Must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. That for believers, these three activities or behaviors shouldn't even be named among us. That we shouldn't do any of this. Never. There should be an old way of living. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. There should not be vulgar speech coming out of the mouth of a believer. That's darkness. Y'all getting this? Is this pretty simple to understand right now? Are we okay? We good? For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You see that? Has no inheritance. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God's wrath does fall upon disobedient and dark behavior. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and upright and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead what? Expose them. You can't do that. That's mean. You can't tell people that their life is sinful. No. That's not very Christian of you. Again, I want you to hear my heart. I don't hate anyone. I'm not mad at anyone. I am disturbed, saddened, and grieved over the state of our culture and the delusion that's put in place in people's minds. Expose them. Why? Why do we expose them? Verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Why expose? Why expose the darkness? Why expose that? So that they can run into the marvelous light of the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ. So that they don't have to remain in darkness. They don't have to be deceived. They don't have to be held down, bound by sin and chaos and destruction. They can be set free by the power of the gospel. Awake, O sleeper, come out, You're in the dark. You need to step into the light. Woe to the person who calls darkness light and light darkness. Today, if you hear his voice, come and receive his mercy that he offers today. Amen? That's why we expose. It's not hateful to expose sin. It's very helpful. It's very hateful to allow someone to remain in darkness. That could be the most unloving thing that you do. It's just let somebody stay in darkness. Why would you want somebody to remain in darkness when they can be in the light? Why would you want to keep somebody bound by chains when they can be set free? The gospel sets people free. The good news, the hope of the manger, is that we receive hope and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So since we are to expose deeds of darkness, let us look at scripture of what darkness is, though we have already looked at some already. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. He says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Do you see those? Are any of those difficult for you to understand what he's talking about? Are we clear? Are we good? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. You ready? Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you realize that? Is that your worldview? You say, well, I don't believe that. Then you don't have a biblical worldview. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see that? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Do you see that? These are deeds of darkness that if you remain in darkness, you will not receive the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you all believe that a person who has a stronghold of any of these sins, whether it be lying, stealing, gossiping, sleeping with anyone they want to sleep with, of the opposite or same sex, how many of you all believe that a person that's bound by that sin and bound by that darkness can be set free and redeemed from that? How many of you all believe that? Huh? How many of you all believe it? I believe it. I believe that they can be set free and that they can, you know, because I was bound by darkness myself and I've been set free. Amen? Notice what Paul says. Look, the list of deeds of darkness that he just explained. And then look what he says as he follows that up. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Some of the people in the Corinthian church were homosexual. They were committing adultery. They were lying, thieving, stealing, cussing. They were just living it their own way. But he says, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were redeemed from that. That's the hope and peace of the manger. Amen? Now, why are these so horrible? Why do we want to expose them? If we look at this list, think about it. Everything that's in darkness is not for your good. When God created Adam and Eve, in the first chapters of the Bible. When God said, let there be, there was, and God said, it's good. God said, let there be, it was, God said, it's good. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them paradise. So there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. If you eat of that, you will surely die. And then there's a tree of life. And when the serpent came to Eve, he deceived her by making her not trust what God said was good. You following me? And Satan deceived her and said, did God really say? What was he doing? He was asking, can you really trust God? That's what Satan still does today. Can you really trust God? Are you going to listen to what he says? Are you going to listen to what the Bible says? Does the Bible have the right way to live? Why are you trusting in what the Bible says? That's an old-fashioned, outdated book. Why are you listening to that book anyway? You make up your own rules. You can become your own God. You make your own decisions. You just have one life. Live it however you want to. If we do sex outside of God's will, it's destructive. Fornicating, premarital sex, it will have an impact in your future marriage. Adultery will destroy a marriage. And if you have children, it will impact their children. Homosexuality? Go do your own research and see how harmful it is. Physically, emotionally, it's unnatural. It's a sin against God and it's a sin against science. It's out of order. Lying. If you are a compulsive liar and all you do is lie, it breaks your relationships with other people. Nobody can trust you. If you're controlled by your anger and you live an angry, hateful life, it destroys relationships. Greed will consume you and it'll become your God, and all you'll do is try to get and never give. So everything that's a deed of darkness, if we embrace that, you know what? That is a road to destruction. Not only in this life, but for all eternity. And God says, I've got a better plan. I've got a better life. I've got hope and peace and joy and love that I want to give to you. I want your relationships to be healthy and strong. I want your marriages to flourish. I want your children to be raised in godly homes. I want you to be honest in your dealings. I want you to be good for humanity. I want you are people of light, that the county in which you live, the neighborhood in which you live, should be better because you're in it, because you are light to the world. You see that? But what we want to do is we want to call darkness light and light darkness, and we don't want to admit that we're in darkness so that we can come out of it. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. This is the danger of being in the dark too long. Once you are in the dark too long, the danger is that your heart becomes hardened and God lets you have your way. In Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. He's talking about male homosexuals and women who are lesbians. And that is a depravity of God's will and desire and plan. It's darkness. I don't hate anybody. I'm not blaming anybody. My heart is sad and grieved for the deception that our world has put on our people and on our young people. I'm not mad at anyone who struggles with any of those sins. No, I want to see them redeemed. I don't like alcohol, because I know what it does to people. I have to visit people in jail because of what it has done. I know the effects that alcohol has on people. I know the stronghold that it can have. I know families who have lost a loved one because of it. I hate it. I hate sin. Sin destroys. It separates. It's not good. I hate people who struggle with sexual temptation or immorality. But they're headed to a life of destruction that's not good. And God has a way, and His plan is so much better. Amen? Some people say, well, Pastor, I know you're quoting a lot from Paul there. I don't know if Jesus ever saying anything about homosexuality or anything that pertains to that. Well, let's read Matthew 19:4. When Jesus is asked about, this is topically is about marriage and divorce, but He makes some statements that are relevant to today. He answered, "Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" So the Lord Jesus recognizes gender. There is male and there is female. And if you have a hard time understanding what the XX and XY chromosome means, you've been blinded. God made them male and He made them female. Again, I'm not mad at anyone. I don't hate anyone. And anyone who struggles with that confusion and that deception, man, I love them. And I care about them. And I pray that God would open up their eyes and their heart, because the world is sucking them into a trap that's going to destroy their life, not only here, but now forever. Jesus, by the way, was Jewish, who did most and the majority of His ministry to Jewish people. And the reason why Jesus doesn't have to speak a lot on a specific sin like homosexuality is He's doing ministry mainly to Jewish people who already settled that matter, and of course that was a sin. Paul, on the other hand, ministered to mainly Gentiles, a Gentile population that was absorbed in the Roman culture, that was very paganistic, that worshipped many false gods, many idols, and exploited their sexuality and had sex with many multiple people and did whatever they wanted to do. And so Paul had to be specific, because there were men and women who were in that lifestyle that was saved and redeemed, and he called them to abandon that. But there's more than just sexual immorality. Romans 1:28. "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." All of that is an attitude and behavior and activity of darkness that is not good. You read that list. You mark that verse of scripture down. You go back and revisit that, and you tell me if any of those actions or activities or behaviors, if that's going to bless your life and bless other people. It's not. It will destroy your life. Does anyone have any confusion over deeds of darkness? Is it clear? Pretty clear, right? Pretty clear. Well, apparently not. Apparently that a contemporary music artist who sings Christian songs, who's made hundreds of thousands of dollars off of Christian songs, when asked her view on homosexuality, said she didn't know. Didn't know what the Bible really said. She's still learning. And if anybody found out, they could let her know. Well, if I had her number, I'd let her know. Because it's pretty clear. Is it not clear? I mean, am I just so simple-minded? Or is that pretty much clear what we read today? Does everyone understand what we read, that that's the deeds of darkness? It's pretty clear. Well, there's a woman Lutheran pastor. She's a feminist. And she is trying to make a reformation within the church. A sexual revolution. She's calling for a new sexual ethic in the church. And she mocks the idea of abstinence and purity. She says, this is my body. I can decide how I use my body, however I want to use my body. That there is no book that should tell me how to control my body. So now she has made herself out to be God, and she's writing her own rules. And she makes fun of purity and the purity movement of purity rings, and saying, hey, you need to save yourself for marriage. She mocks at that and laughs at that and says, that's an outdated way of thinking. Well, can I remind you that we do not get our values or our morals from the Victorian era. We do not get our values and morals from the Reformation period. We do not get our values and morals from the U.S. Constitution. We get our values and morals through the Word of God. That is never outdated. Never outdated. And so she said, everybody, all you women who've been victimized from this purity challenge, send me all your rings and I will melt them down and I will make a statue of a woman's reproductive organ. And she calls herself a minister. Not only is there a delusion over the secular world, but there is a delusion that has crept in the churches. Again, I'm not mad at anyone. I don't hate anyone, but I am saddened, grieved, and disturbed over the delusion over people's minds. Well, if that's not enough to be saddened about, we have the preachers who prostitute the pulpit and make it into a man message where we worship ourselves. And we challenge people and call for people to say, just believe in yourself. Just look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, I'm smart. I'm good. I'm victorious today. I will get that promotion. I'm wondering, did they watch Stuart Smalley and the old Saturday Night Live days where he said, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. Everybody just give yourself a big hug right now. Oh, just love yourself. I'm wonderful and I'm beautiful and I'm good. No, we are not. There is none righteous. No, not one. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each have turned to his own ways. There is none who seek God. There is none who desire God. We do not run to him. We run from him. But by the grace of the Lord Jesus, I've been pulled out of darkness and into light. And now in Christ, I am victorious. Now in Christ, I am loved. Now in Christ, I am of the redeemed. Now in Christ, I can conquer. Now in Christ, I have purpose. In Christ is where my value comes from, not in myself. In Jesus. I don't know where you stand with God. I know many of you all, and I know many of you all are believers in Jesus. And God has transformed your heart, and you've been brought out of darkness. And I know that there's people in our church that have been trapped by many of the sins and the deeds of darkness that we have discussed today, that has been redeemed and set free from them. Amen? And the message and the hope and the peace of the manger is that Jesus came to seek and save. Amen? The message that Paul preached in Acts 26:17, when God sent Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles, he says, I'm sending you to deliver you from your people. Go to that verse there in verse 17. I'm going to deliver you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Why? To open their eyes so they may turn from darkness and what? Turn to light. From the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You see that? And Isaiah 42:7 says, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. Jesus came to set us free. Amen. Not to keep us in our darkness, but to give us hope. I want to close by reading a Puritan prayer. And this is a prayer that I believe that all of us can embrace. And those of you who do not know Jesus, I pray that you would pray for salvation so that one day this might be a prayer you pray. Because as a believer, listen, as a believer, darkness doesn't belong in our life. None of it. Not just one of those sins, all of those sins don't belong in our life. When we read through those deeds of darkness, there wasn't one that was highlighted or bolded, and they were all in there, right? All of those don't belong in our life. And listen to this prayer. It says, oh, my Savior, help me. I am slow to learn, so prone to forget, so weak to climb. I'm in the foothills when I should be on the heights. I'm pained by my graceless heart, my prayerless days, my poverty of love, my sloth in the heavenly race, my sullied conscience, my wasted hours, my unspent opportunities. I'm blind while light shines around me. Take the scales from my eyes. Grind to dust the evil heart of unbelief. Make it my chiefest joy to study thee. Meditate on thee. Gaze on thee. Sit like Mary at thy feet. Lean like John on thy breast. Appeal like Peter to thy love. Count like Paul all things done. Give me increase and progress and grace, so there may be more decision in my character, more vigor in my purpose, more elevation in my life, more fervor in my devotion, more constancy in my zeal. As I have a position in the world, Keep me from making the world my position. May I never seek in the creature what can be found only in the Creator. Let not faith cease from seeking thee until it vanishes into sight. Ride forth in me, thou King of kings and Lord of lords, that I may live victoriously and in victory attain my end. We are the light of the world. City on a hill. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a bushel. Hear my heart. I don't hate anybody. I'm not mad at anyone. I am saddened and grieved over the deception that's deceiving many Americans. And I love you enough this morning to tell you about the light of the hope that you can receive. The peace that you can receive, the joy that you can receive, and the love that you can receive that you'll never experience apart from Christ. And so today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that you would speak to blind eyes and that they would be open. Or if there's a man or a woman here right now that's caught and trapped by sin, that you would come and free them, Lord. Deliver them. That your light would shine on their heart and they would flee from darkness and run to your everlasting love and your mercy and your grace. Father, if there's anyone here, those of us here that need you, Lord, work your saving power over them. For those of us who know you, Lord, may we examine our heart. Lord, is there anything in our lives that shouldn't be there? Our desire should be to live a pleasing, God-honoring life, free from sin, and full of righteousness and faithfulness to you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.